Hello, welcome to episode 4 of the Wearing History Podcast. Today I have Kerry Farnsworth with me, who does amazing vintage ice cream. He's also doing a Kickstarter right now to open a vintage soda fountain in Los Angeles, which is really exciting. So I want to talk to him a little bit about what he does, why he does it, and a little bit about style maybe too. So welcome, Kerry.
Hi, thanks. Good to be here.
Yay, thank you. We also got Jennifer with us. Jennifer is Jenny Lee Knits on Instagram. So, and what's your Instagram, Kerry?
Oh, Ice Cream Man, but it's spelled like my custom license plate, which is I-C-C-R-M-A-N.
Okay, great. And you have a Facebook too?
Yes.
And what is the Facebook page?
C.K. Farnsworths.
Okay. And anywhere else you are on social media that they can follow you?
Twitter.
Twitter? Awesome. Okay, so yeah. Is it also C.K. Farnsworth?
Just Kerry Farnsworth.
Kerry Farnsworth. Yeah. So go follow Kerry. Kerry Farnsworth, C.K. Farnsworth, and Ice Cream Man. All right. So Kerry and I know each other from the vintage scene in Southern California.
That's right.
So that's how we met. We both loved vintage style, so we all are kind of like a friend's group type thing and know each other from all this sort of thing. You also do a World War I reenacting with my husband.
That is true.
Which is pretty cool. So, how did you get into vintage clothing in the first place?
I first entered it through swing dancing in the early 90s, which is kind of before the whole swing dancing thing exploded. I was in junior college and there was a swing dance club on campus. I joined that. I knew about 40s music from my grandparents and I liked that. But so I went into the swing dance era, the swing dance scene, I guess, and I didn't know you could buy clothes like that. I was like, well, you know, maybe I can get a suit and have it altered to fit that way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a few years later meeting people who were wearing actual 1930s and 40s suits and dresses that I was like, you can buy that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think a lot of us did that. We were like, Oh, vintage is cool, but didn't realize the clothes were still actually around. Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what are your primary eras that you like?
I like the 20s and 30s now. When I first started, I thought the 40s was such a neat, bold look. And there's so many films that I've seen that I just really, I loved that look. But then the more I got into it, the more I saw more of the early 30s and 20s stuff, I started to kind of home in on that.
Okay, so 20s, 30s style, which actually makes a lot of sense because your ice cream business, you wear like the 20s, 30s vibe. Like if you are in Southern California and you go to vintage events, you might have seen Kerry with his really cool ice cream cart, or he also has one that he wears like around his neck with a box, and he's got the iconic, like, what is it called? Good Humor Man,
yes.
Kind of like white outfit and
yeah.
Oftentimes a white cap. You're wearing like a,
yeah.
What it kind of
like
cap
a serviceman?
Yeah.
Service cap, I think it's called.
Yeah, right. Like on the old service stations.
Yeah.
The old military, but it's white. Uh-huh. So he looks really, really sharp. And if you've ever had it, it's like the best ice cream in the entire world. Jennifer's nodding because she agrees. So yeah, people like, anytime I hear from people, they're like, oh my gosh, I went to this event and there was this ice cream man. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know him. He's like amazing. So Kerry does really, really great ice cream. So right now, Kerry actually has a Kickstarter up.
That's
and
true.
He's raising money to open a soda fountain.
That's
in the Los Angeles area,
yeah.
Right?
Altadena, to be specific.
Altadena.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, but let's backtrack a little bit. Like,
sure.
Why did you start your ice cream business?
You know, I was living in Glendale, and there was a shaving store, like one of these fancy schmancy men's shaving stores that just started to crop up around that time, that had a TV screen in their window to draw in customers, and they had this silent film running on a loop, actually a portion of the silent film. And it happened to be College with Buster Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of the film, he's getting a job and as a soda jerk. And so they show what the soda jerks did back then. And I had no idea how entertaining it was.
I'm going to have to watch this.
Oh, it's so fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you saw that and you're like,
this
is me.
I saw that and I'm all, I want to be a soda jerk now.
Yeah.
I want to recreate that. I don't see why people wouldn't love that and pay to come watch. I mean, you can go to Baskin Robbins or wherever and get a scoop of ice cream. Yeah, we all love ice cream, of course. But if you could see someone doing that, if it was like this experience that people knew that was very common for people in the 20s, I think people would love that. So
they did kind of like tricks and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. I mean, I can't there was a quote, I can't recall it right now, but soda jerks essentially were like showmen, and they would bring in business by being more outlandish than the soda jerk down the street.
Oh, how interesting. So,
yeah.
Do you know where the term soda jerk came from?
Yes.
Where is it from?
It actually came from the soda jerks themselves and their lingo, but it comes specifically from the action of jerking the handle back and forth on the draft arm, making the sodas. One direction was a strong stream, good for mixing the syrups for a soda. The other direction was a lighter stream, both carbonated though, for dispensing a sidecar,
okay,
which is a slang term for just a side of soda water. Like, oh, if you had a really syrupy sweet dessert, you might want to wash it down with a glass of water.
I had no idea. That's really, really interesting. So the old-fashioned sodas, it's not like what we think of like Coca-Cola where you get it in a bottle, right? You would actually mix soda.
Yeah. Okay. It started in the pharmacies because actually they would hide medicine in a sweet-tasting syrupy drink. And pharmacists already had the skills to mix things like that. So that's why the soda fountains first cropped up in pharmacies.
That's really cool. So it was originally a medicinal thing, and then now it turned into like an entertainment type thing.
And it even goes further back. Just the seltzer water was associated with spas in Europe, and that was supposed to be a healthful drink.
Oh, right. Okay.
Carbonated water.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So your ice cream business, up until this point with a Kickstarter, you did it like at events, right? So you, mm-hmm. How did you start going to events and selling ice cream?
I'm trying to think what the first one was. Oh, I think the first one, well, it was a swing dance venue.
Okay.
And, you know, California is unique in that people will eat ice cream year-round here,
that's
even
true,
if it's cold outside.
Yeah.
But especially at swing dance events, because people get really hot and sweaty inside a dance hall, dancing and having a lot of fun. So I went to a swing dance venue. It was very popular. I branched out to a couple more swing dance venues. And then some people started approaching me about other sort of vintage-related events, backyard vintage clothing sales and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah, and I know you sell out like every year at Fort Mac, right?
Yeah,
because it's
true.
It's usually hot or, you
know. Yeah, and I'm limited how much ice cream I can bring to an event. By the capacity of what I carry it in.
Yeah, and he always sells out, like always. So you like make a beeline for the ice cream man if you want ice cream. So it makes sense that you want to expand and have a building where people can come and get there.
It'll never run out. I can always go back in the freezer and bring out more ice cream.
Yeah, so the soda fountain, it's not just soda, it's ice cream. Is there anything else that the soda fountain would do?
Most soda fountains, the ones that start out in the pharmacies might just be ice cream and drinks and stuff like that. But a lot of them, like Woolworth's, for example, was a lunch counter.
Okay.
So light lunch, dinner, stuff like that. Maybe even, you know, coffee and donuts in the morning. So I'm going to do that as well.
Wow, that's really neat. Yeah.
So it'll be C.K. Farnsworth's Soda Fountain and Luncheonette. And, but back to the ice cream menu, I'll make anything you could get from a soda fountain, which is, you know, a malt, a shake, a sundae, a banana split. There's something interesting that I'm bringing back that I haven't heard of anyone doing this. I only discovered in my research, but there was something called a Monday, which is a sundae. It's a soda with a sundae built on top of it.
Oh, really?
So it's an ice cream soda, which normally just has a scoop of ice cream in it, but the full sundae. So you put the ice cream, the syrup, the toppings, the whipped cream, and the sprinkles and everything on top of a soda.
So there you have it. We all have to go to C.K. Farnsworth to have an edible version of history. It's like time travel you can taste.
That's
really
great.
Cool.
I like that.
Okay, so tell us about the ice cream that you serve. Is there a specific type or brand that you use that's particularly good?
Yes. When I first started telling people about this, a friend of mine said, well, are you going to use Fosselmann's ice cream? And I said, what's Fosselmann's ice cream? And she says, you don't know what Fosselmann's ice cream is? And so I found out. I went and sampled it as quickly as I could, and I agreed with her. It's the best ice cream I've ever had.
Yeah.
Fosselmann's has been family-owned and operated since 1919. All family recipes. They have a really large menu of flavors, which they rotate. And they'll even do custom flavors if you do a minimum order. So.
Wow. So what? We might have some custom flavors from C.K. Farnsworth, huh?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's really neat. So I just gorged myself on not just one, but two ice cream sandwiches. So, they're really good. And I can honestly say this is the best ice cream that I have ever had in my entire life. It's really, really good ice cream. So do you have a favorite flavor?
Oh, I do kind of have a favorite flavor. And that's because also in my research, I came across black walnut ice cream, which was a very popular Southern California flavor in the Edwardian era. And one of the reasons it was popular here is because Whittier, California is one of the largest producers of black walnuts. If you've never had black walnuts, they're a little richer, darker flavor than walnut, than the normal walnuts, the lighter walnuts. They do have a little bit higher oil content, so they'll go rancid faster.
Oh.
So you got to buy them fresh and use them up fast.
Interesting.
But once they're made into the ice cream, there's no problem with that.
So it's kind of a way to preserve the flavor within the ice cream. Wow. Yeah. That is, I need to taste this.
It's really amazing.
Ice cream. Okay, so you said you're in Altadena is where you're looking at for your location. So why did you choose that location?
Actually, the location chose me, and I'm not considering it. I already have the location. It's the gentleman that manages the properties and his father who owns them, they decided to bring in an ice cream shop. And so they asked my good friend who already has a shop in that row of 1920s buildings, they asked him if he knew anybody who did ice cream or who might want to open an ice cream shop. And he said, yes, I do. And he contacted me. And his shop, he makes fedoras from scratch. He has 1920s hat blocks and equipment and all of that.
So what's the name of his shop?
Wellama Hat Company.
And he makes amazing hats. You guys should check him out too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've purchased one. So he contacted me. I talked to the building manager. And once he heard what I wanted to do with making it original 1920s style, keeping everything that's original 20s about the building intact, he said, oh, that's wonderful. And I've already talked to him and worked out leasing the space with him.
That's awesome. So I think I might have heard you said previously that it was a bank. Is that correct?
No, actually, someone did a little tiny article about me, and I spoke with them over the phone, interviewed before she wrote the article, and I said, I told her it was a bank of 1920s buildings, and she translated that when she wrote the article. She said it was in a 1920s bank. It's absolutely not a bank.
Okay.
I should have said a row or a group.
Yeah.
It's the original building. I can't think of the architectural term, but when the top of a facade of a building will have a flat, decorative portion above.
Like a cornice that goes all the way across.
Yeah. And it goes to a point. It still has the original facade like that.
Okay.
And there are a few of the shops along the road because everyone is very, very proud of the historic history of those shops. A couple of people have photos of that street. There's one in particular from 1949, and you can see it's exactly the same as it was back then.
Oh, how neat.
And that's from 49, it's the same, but that's actually what it looked like in the 20s when they built it. It's the original.
So the interior right now, does it look 1920s or?
Yes.
But are you going to pull it back? Like, is part of your plan to make it look like?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
There's nothing in there that says we've modernized this. It's just there's a dry cleaner in there now, and don't worry, they're not an on-site plant.
Yeah.
They just take in clothing and put it in a van and take it to a plant somewhere else where it gets cleaned and then bring it back. So there's no problem with chemicals in the building or anything like that. I've already been assured of that by the building manager. But because of that, it's not really fancy inside. It's just, it's painted. The walls and ceiling are all one color. It has the original concrete floors from the
20s. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, but it's concrete. It's 20s concrete, but it's concrete.
It's still concrete, right?
So I've already talked to the manager, and he said he has no problem with me putting in the subway tiles, the little hexa tiles or whatever. So I'm going to do a nice pattern tile.
Yeah, no, that's amazing because I think a lot of us that really love vintage, we look at what people have done to the old buildings. We go, no, don't touch it. Don't ruin the history. And it's nice to know that the building owner not only likes the original history but wants to encourage people who also want to preserve the history of the building. So it sounds like it's absolutely. Just a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that a lot of us that grew up might remember, like, you know, the diners that were in mini malls and, like, you know, it was all modernized and everything. This is not like that. This is going to be like time warp, right? You're going to walk through the front door and be back in time with the original, probably music.
Yeah. Like 1920s and 30s music playing all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a dance venue, but if you want to get up after you've had your ice cream and dance because the song that's playing is your favorite song to dance to, absolutely, I will encourage that.
That's really great. And you'll have the tile floor, so it'll be nice for dancing and everything.
And the tile that I found, you know, they make domed tiles where the glaze is kind of domed, and those make an uneven surface. It's not good for a dance floor.
Right.
But these are reproduction tiles, essentially. It's a very flat tile, so once you've grouted it, it's a smooth surface. It's great for that.
Okay, so if you could imagine your future dream of what CK Farnsworth looks like, what does that look like in your head? Like, you've got your space, you've done your Kickstarter, everything's gone amazingly, and now you're in the future. What is it like?
Well, it's got these wonderful windows that, you know, kind of curve into the door. I'll have those painted with signage, my logo, which is all over my, if you visit any of my social media, you'll see what that looks like. So I'm gonna have that painted on the front. I'm also gonna do a neon sign of that same image. It's a soda jerk and a giant soda glass behind him. And so I'll have a neon sign of that above the store. And then once you walk in, you'll see this wonderful tile pattern on the floor. You'll see a highly ornate 1920s style soda counter with the 20s. There's a specific style of 1920s stools. It's hard to describe. You'll see them when you come to the shop or Google them and look at what they look online. But I specifically want those kind of stools. They look amazing and they just kind of top it off. The equipment that you make the ice cream with is actually part of the aesthetic appeal. And that's because when the soda jerks were the center of attention in the middle of the bar, they had the highly ornate draft arms of the soda machine. And that was on purpose. That was meant to be the focal point when you walk in. So, and there's also a specific type of 20s draft arms. This is all technical stuff, but when you come in and see it, you'll hopefully be very impressed.
Yeah, maybe we can find some vintage images to put on the blog so people can understand what it is you're going for.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I want you guys to like really realize that this guy, he's not like hokey, right? Like we've all been to like the hokey kind of, oh, it's vintage. No, this guy, he knows his stuff. Like if you really want a time travel experience, Cary is the guy that can do it because he really researches. He knows what it's about. He knows what the real history looked like. This is not like the 90s take on 20s. This is the authentic 1920s. Look, so I'm really excited about what he wants to do. So we do need a push, though, because Cary is on Kickstarter right now.
That's correct.
And there's a little ways to go, so we need some people to hop in there and back his Kickstarter. So, I survived a Kickstarter, you know, with my Wearing History clothing, so I understand it's like can be kind of stressful. So Cary is currently in the process, and even if you're not a local to Los Angeles, I really suggest you check out his Kickstarter and back if you're able to, because this dream is a good old American dream. It deserves to come back. People deserve to be able to walk into somewhere and have the time travel experience. There's so few places that exist like this. There's none that exist like this in the United States, right? You are going to be
Know of. And even some of the really old soda fountains that are around, you go in, people are wearing t-shirts and baseball caps behind the counter.
Yeah.
We're going to be wearing authentic vintage uniforms from the era. Mm-hmm. We're going to be slinging the ice cream the way they did back then.
It's going to be really awesome. It's going to be really ice cream gunslingers. Like, you guys, make sure you go check it out. And please do back if you are able to. Because this is just a really great dream, and I'd love to see it become a reality. So there's a limited time left on his Kickstarter right now. Please make sure you go check it out. So how do they find you on Kickstarter? What is the title?
I have a link. I have a quick link. It's bit.ly/vintagesodafountain. That's bit.ly/vintagesodafountain.
Yeah, and you can find him at CK Farnsworth on Facebook and Ice Cream Man, as he said before, on Instagram, if you didn't catch that link. So thank you so much, Carrie, for coming and talking with me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been wonderful. And I can't wait to hear what you do in the future with all of your things. Maybe we can have you on again and talk about all of your successes after you've opened.
I'd love to.
All right. Come check us out at wearinghistoryblog.com and Wearing History on Instagram, Wearing History on all the social media. Okay. Thank you, Carrie.
Bye-bye. Thank you.